Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is a More Than Just Podcast production.
So hey everybody, welcome to episode 367 of the More Than Just Code podcast. My name is Tim Mitra. I'm in Toronto, Ontario, and I'm joined by Daniela Vajan in Toronto, Ontario as well. And we could have done this in person, but you know, oh well. We probably live like down the street from each other or something, who knows. It's probably crazy. What part of Toronto are you in, actually?
I'm at the intersection of 401 and 404.
Oh, you're way
yeah,
up there.
Yeah, way up there.
Okay. Yeah, Markham? Is that Markham?
No, it's, yeah, okay. it's close to North York, but it's still Toronto, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but a little bit far away.
Cool. Yeah, I used to work up that way when back in the early days, long before iOS and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, but ancient history. Yeah, cool. So I was just saying before that I'd first found out about you, or met you actually through Ray Wunderlich's Discord before it was called Codico. A couple of years ago, I guess you joined the team as a writer.
2020.
Right? And, 2020, yeah. And so I was also looking on the site, and you were one of the bootcamp students as well?
Yeah, the first bootcamp that they had during COVID, those community care events, I was one of the students, was lucky enough to get in that.
Yeah, and so were you doing any iOS or any kind of mobile development at that time? Or
I was just starting out. I graduated end of 2019, and when the bootcamp started, I was probably about six months into learning iOS development.
Yeah, you graduated from...
Yeah, I graduated in Croatia, computer science.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, computer science. Okay, so yeah, I heard you had started as a civil engineer initially, but did you change careers at some point? Or
yeah, I pretty much completely made like a 360 turn. I do have a civil engineering degree. And I worked as a civil engineer for about 2 years, did not like it.
Yeah.
And then just decided to go back to school and get a computer science degree. And that's how it all started.
So how many years to study to be a civil engineer? Is that like 3-4 years?
So I have a bachelor's degree, so it's 3 years.
Okay. And then the computer science was another couple of years? Another 3 years. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. And then you did that all in Croatia, and then you came here. And so how did you find that benefited you when you did the Ray Wunderlich bootcamp? Like, did you find you had a better start?
Definitely. I think one of the biggest benefits that I've seen is I was learning pretty much on my own. I mean, I did get a degree, but I did not learn iOS development in university. That was completely just me learning on my own, and I was building like some sample apps, just learning basics, and then the bootcamp pretty much filled me in with some of the things that I kind of missed, and it was also nice to get a mentor and ask questions that I otherwise would have been able to ask someone else. At that time I wasn't on Twitter, I wasn't on any social media, I was learning on my own. I didn't know anyone. I was new to Canada. I didn't know any iOS developers, and that kind of introduced me to a lot of people, community, and was awesome.
Yeah, I reached out to you because I think, you know, there's a few of us on the team. Like, it used to only be four of us Canadians on the Raywin Lurk team. You know, Greg Heo was one, and now he's down in California, works for Apple. And then there's one of them is at Facebook now. Calvin used to be, he's the algorithm guy. He used to be out in Vancouver, but now he lives here in Toronto and works at Instacart. But yeah, there wasn't that very many of us. And over time, like when I joined the Raywin Lurk team, there were like 150 developers worldwide, but only four of us were Canadian. Actually, no, that's true.
The only Chris I know is Chris Bellinger.
I
don't know how to pronounce it.
Chris Bellinger. Well, it's Bellinger. Yeah, Bellinger is how the Americans say it, but Bellinger is how we Canadians. So you have to learn to say Bellinger. Although he probably says Bellinger too. I don't know, to be honest with you. But yeah, he was my favorite editor until I started working with Tammy. But you know, Tammy was one of, and Tammy Corrin used to be an editor at Codico, Raywin Lurk, and that kind of stuff. So whenever I wrote articles, I was back in the day, they had like an article team, and so I would write about conferences and stuff like that, and you know, usually I'd do like a WWDC and then I have to turn it around really quick. So Chris was always like ready to start doing the editing, and it's amazing. I think I read in your blog that you were talking about writing, and it's amazing how much they change your writing when you submit things to Raywin Lurk. Like, they make it so much sound so much better. They make me sound a lot younger than I am, which I find really, it's funny to me, right? You know, like, I would never have said that, like, you know. But anyway, it's an interesting experience, right? So when did you go, you went from boot camp to pretty much like a writer at the team pretty quickly, right?
Kind of when I graduated from the boot camp, I graduated one of the top five students, and then my mentors,
congratulations.
And then my mentors recommended me to become part of the Raywin Lurk team. And I had a chat with Ray. I think they had like a few positions open up for like a tech editor, someone mm-hmm. who'd be responsible for the algorithms, Discord moderators and article authors. And I never probably would have applied on my own if he didn't reach out to me. And I was like, do I want to do it? Do I not? Like, okay, you know, let's try to become an article author out of everything. And at the time, I wasn't working professionally. Actually, I had no professional experience as an iOS developer. Pretty much everything I knew, I learned my own and on the bootcamp. And yeah, I tried, I passed, and here I am.
But you did work professionally, because I think you were working here for a company in Canada,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I started working at Deloitte in November. And at that time, I was still like in a tryout for writing at Raywin Lurk Codeco.
So the Deloitte gig was, you were a junior iOS engineer or a developer?
Junior iOS developer. That was my first
job. What kind of apps did you work on there?
I work for a client project. I don't know if I can say.
No, you probably can't.
I worked on a big client project. I was like the only developer apart from a manager. Learned quite a lot there. It pretty much threw me on this legacy code, and I was like, had to pretty much learn.
Was it like Objective-C as well as Swift?
They had a lot of Objective-C, but it was UIKit, it was storyboards. it was fun. I learned a lot.
And were you like, had you studied like Swift UI in the bootcamp, or were you ready for UIKit?
That bootcamp was pretty much all UIKit at that time. We did have like one session about Swift UI, just learning the basics, but I did not know Swift UI at the time. I was still learning it, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll let you in on a little secret. I mean, when most of us started in iOS, you described exactly how we all got going with it too. We just sort of had an idea, wanted to build an app, and then dove in. And there wasn't, you know, in the early days, there wasn't much documentation. There was some, but we were reading like Daniel Steinberg or, you know, Ray Winterlich was a place where a lot of us went to learn. And that's how we all met Ray in the beginning, in the early days, back when the dinosaurs ruled the earth, right? But and it's true to this day. I mean, I think, you know, I'm a senior engineering manager, and, you know, I've worked as a senior engineer, and I can tell you that the longer you work at this stuff, the less you seem to know, you know, because I mean, Apple changes the frameworks, things get simpler. I mean, there's lots of cool things coming out this last couple of weeks from WWDC, but, you know, there's still some mysteries, right? And there's still a lot of legacy code out there.
Yeah.
I'm lucky I work in a company now where it's all Swift, and they've already cleaned out all the Objective-C. So even though they did have originally a lot there. So, and now you're at the Score, I think, right?
Yes, now I'm at the Score, just 2 months in.
So are you, and how are you liking that?
I really like it. I just say if I'm learning a lot, then it's going pretty well, because I'm doing a lot of things, learning a lot. So it's pretty cool. It's hard, but it's cool.
Is it entry level position or junior position or intermediate developer?
Yeah.
Where do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And is that how you applied at that level after a couple of years at Deloitte? Or?
Well, I worked at Deloitte for about a year and 2 months, and then I switched. I worked for Bally's before I worked at Score.
Oh, Bally, yeah, right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I've been there for about a year and 3 months, and then just recently switched to Score. Yeah, I've had about 2.5 years of professional work experience.
Sure. Yeah, I'd make you an intermediate. Once you get 3, you can start thinking about calling yourself senior.
Oh, in 10 years.
No, 3 to 5 years is where you get to be the senior person. So. Yeah. So we were talking about it as well. So I'm curious what you saw at WWDC recently, and what did you think about it? Like, what's exciting about what you've seen so far?
Ooh, there are a lot of things. I think I got very excited when they announced Swift Data. we were watching the WWDC keynote and the State of the Union in the office, and I was like, oh, finally, when they announced it, that's really cool. Really like that, because it's going to make it much easier to work with Core Data.
Have you worked with Core Data already?
Or? I have, a little bit, yeah. Then a lot of quality of life improvements, like the string catalog is pretty cool in Xcode 15. And then macros also. That's a really cool new thing. And yeah, just a lot of Xcode improvements. I don't know, Tipkit is really cool. Yeah, there are a lot of small things that's gonna be quite exciting to work with.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I was playing with, I was writing some apps the other day. Like, I was writing a Swift Data app as my side project. And I right-clicked on something and it said, add documentation. I went, okay. And it literally stubbed out the documentation, just like you see on Apple, of my classes that I had just written like maybe half an hour before. And it was amazing. Like, oh, okay, now I can go through and flush that out. And so that was kind of a really interesting, you know, thing that they've added with Doxy. I mean, my friend Marin worked on Doxy when he was at Apple, and he was pretty excited about it. But I think that I didn't really get the gist of it. I thought it was for package manager documentation. I didn't realize it would actually help us write documentation for our own apps. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's in iOS or Xcode 17. What are we? Xcode 15, iOS 17. Yeah, it's hard to keep up. It's been a long time. Pretty cool. And I think you just went to Swift. You wrote an article on Deep Dish Swift in Chicago.
Yeah.
So how was that? How was it nice? How nice was it to be back in person with people? Or have you been to many conferences in the last couple of years?
I've been, actually. I've been to the first edition of Swift Leads in 2021. That was very interesting because it was kind of still during COVID. And then I've been to Singapore this year. IOSConf Singapore, that was really nice. And then Chicago. And then I've been to Amsterdam to do iOS as well last year. Yeah, quite a few conferences already.
Well, traveling around.
Yeah, the first time on this continent, I would say, North America. So that was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think other than WWDC last year, they really... Oh, no, we had 360 iDev was in person this year in August of last year. But I think... But yeah, that's... There's no more 360 iDev.
Yeah.
So we need to fill the gap with something. Unfortunately, Deep Swift Dish has come along. And thankfully, SwiftTO is coming back as well, right, this year. And so what, you're going to be speaking at SwiftTO, you're one of the selected speakers already.
Yeah.
Any sort of idea what you're going to talk about, or is it going to, has it changed because of WWDC, or?
No, I'm going to give the same talk I gave at Deep Dish Swift. It's going to make it a little bit easier on me, because it takes a lot of time to write, to do a talk.
Sure.
But yeah, that, I think the talk went pretty good, went pretty great. So I'm going to be speaking about Swift algorithms. So I think it's going to be.
Oh, okay, cool. So are you not, are you, have you taken over the algorithm group over at Codico now, or
no?
Or are you just part of it?
No, you take. I mean, there's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah, is Matthias still involved in the algorithm group? Do you know?
I don't know.
You don't know that name?
Yeah,
okay,
no.
He's one of the old guard from.
So many people now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's grown quite a bit. I mean, like since the last time last time we had a code. What was it called? RWDevCon, we had like a couple of in-person conferences. I think the last one was 2017, something like that. But it was good to get everybody together, and they really put on a good show.
It would be nice to bring those back.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what the direction of the company is right now, but I'm just a tech editor over there now these days, right? So. So yeah, just part of the process I have here. Well, let's actually, before we get too far with that, I'm curious. I always ask people on the show, can you tell me a little bit? We talked a little bit about how you got interested in coding, but how did you get to? How about computers? Like, was computers a part of your life, your whole life? Have you done any gaming, anything like that?
Yeah, I was always a gamer. That's pretty much the only thing I've done with computers. Well, I mean, I started gaming on consoles, Nintendo 64, and then PlayStation 1, and then now Switch these days. And then, yeah, gaming, some PC gaming. I was always like, I was doing a little bit of Linux as well, trying to make my own Arch Linux and things like that. That was quite interesting. I found that always interesting. But I didn't really, I got into programming quite late. I just was not introduced to it. I did not have it in school at all. I did not have it in my civil engineering university at all. So I wish it happened sooner, but it did not. So
I think it was your husband, you said, that got you started. Like, it was his idea.
Yeah,
right?
It was. He works at Twilio. He's a solution architect there. And yeah, he's the one who saw me not happy being a civil engineer. And he just told me, you know, why don't you just try this? And I tried programming. First thing that I tried was to build a simple website in HTML and CSS. It's not really programming, right?
Start. It's a start. A lot of us start there.
Yeah, but I loved it. So that's how I started. That was interesting.
But it's curious too, like, so I'm a WordPress, I don't know if I can say guru, but I've been using WordPress a lot. I've written themes, I've written plugins. I mean, I just was updating my own MTJC website recently and writing some plugins for that. And I was reading your article and you were talking about how you're using Swift to publish your current blog, right? And I think one of the comments you made in the article I read was that you were thinking about switching to WordPress. And I'm here to tell you, don't do it. You know, I'm actually in the process of switching my some of my sites over to Jekyll, right? Because the problem with WordPress is it's been around so long that it's just a target for hackers. And you know, you have to run so many protections on it. And it was nice, a convenient tool to get, you know, your blog together. You know, I can set my sister up with a website. You know, in fact, all of my sisters have been set up with websites and, you know, family members and stuff like that. And I host them and I manage them. But they need me to be a watchdog, right? And I've probably got, you know, at one point I had like 200 WordPress sites that I was basically managing. So you can imagine all the email notifications I get saying this has been updated, that's been updated. And recently my own blog, itguy.com, I've one of the tricks is to move it away from the default folders. That sort of keeps them at bay for a while. But they're like zombies. They will find your blog, right? And they will find your admin section. And so, which is why I'm thinking, like, you know, why am I killing myself? I should just go and learn Jekyll or something like that. I published the site to GitHub and just, you know, put the pages up there, and I'm already using Git all the time for my work anyway. So, you know, I made a profile page. So that's, so I'm curious as to why or how or you got to the point where you thought you would use Swift to build your site and what you've learned from that and why everybody should do that if they are doing it.
I don't know. I was like, I feel like we developers like to make our life miserable.
Just,
you know, dabble with things. It took me like 4 or 5 months to have my website up and ready, you know. With WordPress, I'd probably be much faster. But it was, I mean, I really enjoyed working with Publish and building my website in Xcode. It was quite a tedious process. I had to figure a lot of things on my own, but I really liked it. I don't know. I did say that I was thinking of moving to like WordPress, maybe something else, just because of ease of access, like ease of installing some plugins, adding some things that I don't have to spend, you know, another month I would working.
Developing.
It's just, you know, the amount of time I spend like working on it, it's quite a lot, but it's not that hard to, I guess. Once you have the website up and running, it's running. You don't have to like worry about it a lot.
Well, I'm curious about you mentioned using Xcode to build the site. So how do you build it? Do you make a project and like what do you choose for, or you're just using Xcode as your editor kind of thing?
Yeah, Xcode is pretty much your editor. Publish is just like a Swift package. You add it through Swift Package Manager. It generates some basic. It's using like a plot. It pretty much converts your Swift code into HTML. There's a CSS file, so you still have to know CSS because you have to write your own CSS. But still, you write, I don't know, a paragraph is a paragraph, and it looks just like Swift UI. John Sandel, he created Publish. He made sure it's familiar to developers who already know Swift. So it's pretty cool. I really like it.
And do you like just publish does it create a HTML folder and that's what you publish to your site or?
Yeah, it has a, when you run the build in Xcode, it creates it goes through all the publishing steps and just creates HTML and CSS and everything for you. And you can just open a localhost. It's already built into Publish and just see how your website looks like before you publish it. So I don't know, like GitHub pages or whatever host you're using.
Right, and you just push it up there and like commit it basically, right?
Yeah, there's a command line, publish, deploy, and it just, it has a step for GitHub, so it's pretty easy.
So when you write a blog entry, are you just writing that one particular blog entry and then it gets added to the flow of the pages, or?
So I do everything manually still. You just have to run, once you have the, I don't know, I add a markdown file and then recreate the build in Xcode so it adds that article in HTML and inside maybe generate everything. And then I can just hit publish deploy and it automatically gets published to GitHub page.
And does it deal with like navigation as well? Like if you, like does it have like a feed page where you see like a small, what do you call it, like a little portion of the story or whatever, and then you click on that and goes into the full page article, right?
Yeah, it has all of that.
Does it add it to the top of the feed, or do you have to manually add it to the top of the feed yourself?
It adds it automatically to the top of the feed. It's handled.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
That's similar to how Jekyll kind of does it too. Like there's a folder and it's using, what's the word? It's like a RESTful API in a sense that, you know, like it'll have a 2023 folder and then it'll say June and then it'll say 13th, like today's June 13th. Yeah. And then it will be whatever the name of the post is, .html. And then, so you just, every time you just go to publish, you just write that one blog and then it just gets added and it automatically, Jekyll handles navigation and all that kind of stuff. And you have to write the theme. Like the I've been playing around with it a little bit. You can actually export a WordPress site. You just publish it as a static site, but Yeah, but using a Jekyll theme, you can actually, very similar to what you're describing, but it's not using, I think it's Ruby, not Swift, right? So,
It's not,
I don't think it's super, I haven't found it like super challenging to get something going, but I just, again, like you said, I have to do the style
and
everything like that. And that's the part that I have to get.
Yeah. Once you get it running, it's all there. You're good.
I mean, it's the same thing with WordPress. I mean, with WordPress, you either buy a theme or you make your own theme. And then if you have to change things, like I always do custom plugins and custom posts when I do. Like if I'm, like I have a section of my site where I've got all the apps that I've worked on. So I had to write a custom plugin to handle each one of those as a separate post, right?
Yeah.
With a link to the app store and all that kind of stuff. So, and actually one of my apps, Device Tracker, the website there is just a theme that I bought. You know, just put, I upload the images from the, like I made screenshots and things like that. And there's like dummy iPhones. And I just push stuff up there and I get my reviews from, you know, from iTunes and I just put them in as posts. Right. So that was a pretty, yeah. And so, and, you know, so I don't really, that one, I don't really update, but that's, you know, that's like an application website just meant to show people what the app does.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So I have this quick section of the show where I like to ask some questions. And so if you're seated comfortably, you look like you are, in your gaming chair.
Yeah.
I can ask you some questions about yourself and maybe we'll find a little bit more about you. Maybe you'll learn something about yourself too.
Yeah, okay.
So my first question is, what is your motto? What's the reason people come to Daniela for?
What's the reason people come to me? that's a good one. I don't know, like maybe people come to me, I always make good on my promise, I guess, maybe it would be one of the things. You know, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to make sure I do that. I feel like a lot of people are, you know, I don't know, if you meet someone and they ask you about some restaurants, I don't know, and they're like, oh, I'll send you the list and then never do, you know, I'll be the one who's actually going to send you that list. So yeah, that's probably one of the things.
Cool. All right. Who are your favorite writers?
Writers.
And it can be any kind of writing. It doesn't have to be, it can be like blog posts, it can be books, it can be TV shows.
I know a lot of good writers, technical writers. I've been trying to read more like fiction, but I just can't. That just don't do it. Instead, I just watch Netflix. Quite easier.
What's your favorite Netflix shows then? Let's do it that way.
Okay, that's easier. Netflix show. How about a favorite show that's not on Netflix of all time? That
okay,
would be
yeah,
much
yeah.
easier.
Sure.
Yeah, so I absolutely love Stargate series. I don't know if
cool.
you heard about
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know it quite well.
I love Stargate, SG-1, Atlantis. Those are my favorite ones. And I watched them all 4 times already.
Really? Yeah. I remember watching the original movie when it first came out, and then I didn't really get into the TV show, the first one, but there was one called Universe, I think, Stargate Universe.
Yeah,
it was only on for 2 years. Or... Did you? Oh,
yeah.
I liked that one. That was a good
okay,
one.
Yeah,
good
I didn't. One. I don't know. They introduced a lot of drama.
Oh, yeah. There was a Canadian actor who was like the captain of the ship, and I'd seen him on a Canadian show, so I liked that one. What's the best sandwich?
Okay, that I can answer. best sandwich is the one that I make.
Okay, correct answer, yes.
Because a lot of them don't have enough of something, I don't know, and I just make them exactly how I want them.
So what's on a good sandwich that you make, what Daniela makes?
A good sandwich would be like, a white bread baguette, let's say. Then it would have some mozzarella cheese. It would have some pickles, some tomatoes, a little bit of mayo, a lot of ham, different types of ham. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. But it would be very juicy.
Cool. All right. What's the scariest animal?
Snakes.
Snakes?
Oh, I'm horribly afraid of snakes.
Okay, yeah. I just watched Raiders of the Lost Ark the other day, and he doesn't like snakes either. Apples or oranges?
Oranges.
Why?
I would always reach out for oranges more than apples.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. I like the taste more.
Okay. How about this one? What number am I thinking of?
7.
Nope. You're close. You're close. You got part of it.
17.
Do you have a dream that you can remember?
I do.
What is it?
Well,
or if you can share.
Yeah,
it.
Of course. So the first dream that came to my mind is, it's actually a nightmare. But okay. When I was a teenager, my sister used to scare me when I would come home from school. She would hide behind the doors and just jump at me. And that was always scare me. And she'd done that probably like a few times. And then one night I just dreamed that I came back from school home and that no one was at home. And I felt like something was wrong, like horrible. It didn't feel right. She scared me so much that I actually had a nightmare. So
cool. Now you just dream about fighting with Xcode, right?
Yeah. And UI kit constraints.
Yeah, exactly. Auto layout. Yeah. What's the most used app on your phone?
Most used app. I have to check that. I would probably say Twitter.
Yeah, you can go into screen time and check.
Let me see. Let's see what was right.
I think you have to go 24 hours to or a week or something like that rather than just today.
Let's say a week. Yeah, Twitter.
Twitter?
Definitely.
And what's the next one?
Next one.
Are you're using Mastodon too? I see you there.
Yeah,
too,
I am, right? But I don't know. Twitter and everything that's been happening, horrible. Mm-hmm. But I just find it quite hard to stay active on both platforms. I don't really like that, so I just pretty much lurk on Twitter a lot.
You lurk, yeah. Okay.
My second use is actually mail.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then third is music.
Okay, I'm trying to find my screen. Where's screen time on this thing?
I'd say if you go.
Oh, yeah. There it is there, yeah.
Settings.
Let's see. Messages. Wow. Well, that's today, yes, because today we're trying to get tickets for a concert. So that makes sense. All right. Oh, my iPad went to sleep. Let's see. Let's go to Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who, or Babylon 5. Or I think we have a new one now. What's your favorite sci-fi? You already told me.
Yeah, Stargate, but I would go with Star Trek.
Star Trek? Yeah. Any reason why?
I don't know. I really like it. Star Wars is okay. I don't know. I think Star Trek is the best of all.
So which Star Trek are you thinking? Are you Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Lower Decks?
I would...
You know, Discovery?
I like Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine?
Yeah.
That's your jam?
Yeah. Cool. I love a Garrick character. I think he's awesome.
Cool. Which living person do you admire the most?
This is probably going to be... I'll go with my mom.
Your mom?
Yeah, I'll go with my mom. Yeah. She's been through a lot. My parents pretty much have been through a lot. I was born during war
Yugoslavia
was in Croatia. They went through a lot. They went through hell, you know, to raise me and my sister. Yeah, I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her.
Cool. No, that's a good reason. Have you ever asked anyone for their autograph?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Honestly, I don't really see the point of people asking me for an autograph. I don't know. It's just another person.
Okay. Other than somebody in Star Trek or Stargate, who's your favorite hero of fiction?
My favorite hero? Well, can't use anyone from Stargate. I would go with Batman. Is that valid?
Batman?
Yeah.
So which Batman, though? I think, you know, we need to know which one.
I don't know. I guess just Batman's a character.
Okay. All right. We'll go with yeah. We'll generically Batman. Okay.
Yeah.
We won't nail down any one particular one. Cool. What is your most treasured possession?
Most treasured possession.
I mean, your house is burning down. You have to run out of the house. What's the one thing you take with you?
My husband.
Oh, that's good. He'll be glad to hear that.
What would I take with me? Probably going to say my phone or my MacBook, I guess. Pretty much my whole world is inside. Everything. I don't have anything better than that.
Nothing better? Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
And that's pretty much if I'm sitting here, that's just going to be, I'll grab this and get out the door.
What do you consider your greatest achievement so far?
My greatest achievement. I would say maybe moving from Croatia to Canada. It was quite an adventure. It wasn't easy at all.
Did you do it by yourself or with family?
With my husband, the two of okay. us. He moved here about 6 months before me. I was still in university. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all, but I think we're both happy that we did it, and I'm really proud of
that. You chose the right country, for sure.
We could actually choose between Toronto, Chicago, and New Orleans, and I think London, UK. Yeah, but we chose Toronto.
Those are good cities, too. Okay, you have to listen to one song for the rest of your life. What is it?
One song for the rest of my life. Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Okay, cool.
The happy song.
All right. Cool. Well, I think that's it for another week. So tell me, Daniela, if people want to get in touch with you, where would they find you?
Twitter, probably the most. You can message me there. And mm-hmm. on my website, danielaversion.com, there's my contact info there, my links to my profiles. That's pretty much where you can find me these days.
And you're going to be speaking at a conference soon.
Yes, and I'll be speaking in August. That's with Theo in Toronto. Really exciting to be speaking in Toronto at home. So that's going to be exciting. You can also catch me there. Yeah, so do come to SwiftIO.
Cool. Yeah, definitely, for sure. I'll be there. Cool. Well, my name is Timitra, TimMitra on the Twitter machine and the Mastodon machine. I'm still waiting for that blue sky invite. So anybody hit me up. I'm ready for it. So until next time, we'll say bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of the More Than Just Code podcast. If you want to find out more about the show, you can visit the More Than Just Code website at mtjc.fm. There you can find a summary and show notes of each episode. We list links to the apps, code, and news that we mentioned on the show. If you like the podcast, tell your friends. Please leave a comment on the website, and if you can, please write a review on iTunes. And please recommend us in your favorite podcatcher. All of these things help others find out about the show. We really appreciate your help with spreading the word. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'd love to hear from you, so use the hashtag AskMTJC. Once again, the podcast's Twitter account is @MTJC_podcast. Please consider supporting the show by pledging any amount on patreon.com/MTJC. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.
It's nice cool. to finally meet you.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, we've been chatting back and forth online and liking and reposting each other's posts and stuff. Yeah, I gotta say, most of the people at Ray Wonder, like when I meet them or I meet them on the team, I know they're there. They've gone through a couple of hurdles to get there. But yeah, I was surprised when I was just doing research today to find that you were one of the boot camp people.
Yeah, so I was also the mentor on the first bootcamp that they had last year, and I'm gonna be a lead mentor this year, actually.
Nice.
I applied and they accepted me, so I'm super excited for that.
So, do you have any idea what a lead mentor does? Like, how much time commitment is there involved in mentoring other like a bootcamp?
Oh, it's much more than they say.
Yeah.
The biggest part probably is grading homework. Because last bootcamp when I mentored, I think my group had the most students. I had about 13 students and I had to grade a homework from Monday.
Like you
to
were
Thursday.
Mentoring those 13?
Yeah, I had, yeah, those were like all my students. So each mentor had about 10, maximum 15 students, but I had 13. It was quite a lot. And then I had to grade 13 homework all by myself, and I only had about 3 days. And, you know, that's all included with work. So I pretty much do it outside of work. I was spending 6-7 hours probably on average, I would say, just grading homework.
Well, so I think it's the lot of a teacher too, right? So, yeah, I'm curious. So, So what do you think about Vision Pro? We didn't really talk about that much. What do you think about the future of spatial computing?
On purpose. Yeah, I'm not sure what to think about it. It sounds very interesting, like from development perspective, like to build apps for it. But honestly, I don't see myself using it. Like, why would I want to put it on my head? I can see some cool things, like maybe watching movies or like, I don't know, watching scenery or something. But just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Talking to people it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think, for me, I don't think, I was talking to Daniel Steinberg about this a couple of weeks ago. I don't think I'm in the demographic for that tool, but I mean, I'm very interested in the execution, like that they've come up with. Because before Apple showed it to me, I had no idea what would I do with a VR headset. But I could see myself owning one. I don't know if I want to build apps for it though. I mean, it was different with the iPhone. I mean, I had an iPhone initially, and I think I might even thought about for 5 minutes writing apps for BlackBerry, because you could also write for Palm Pilot before that too, right? But it wasn't until I actually got an iPhone that I really started thinking about writing for it. And now, you know, this is my life, right? And this is your life, you know? I don't think that, I mean, the iPhone had an advantage in that it was a phone, right? Everybody had a cell phone back then. Everybody knew what the internet was. I mean, most people knew what the internet was. I mean, my mom didn't know what the internet was at that point. But so it made sense. And people had iPods. So from that point of view, it had already some utility. Whereas I think the killer app for Vision Pro doesn't exist yet, right?
Sure.
Other than like being immersive, you know. I kind of wonder what it would be like when you've got it on, if you can walk around your house and not trip on the furniture and things like that, right?
Yeah. That's what interests me as well.
Yeah, I mean, the battery life, I read Marcus Brownlee's review. Apparently, it's 2 hours on the battery. That's not going to be great for a lot of people, right?
So yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, well, we talked about it on More Than Just Code last episode. And Mark was saying he doesn't think that this is for the average person. Like, it's not. It's more for the power user, kind of, you know, everybody that has to have the shiny Apple thing, right?
Yeah. You know? Really cool. I really see the point of it, like, when what they showed in, I think it was, I don't know if it was Keynote or State of the Union, something, when they, like, they were showing parts of, like, of human heart, you know, that's really cool, like, for students to see that and visualize that and things like that. I think that's a pretty cool use case, but it's very niche, very specific. I don't know.
Well, I think until you actually put one on, you're really not going to know what the capability, like, my granddaughter plays Tetris on her PlayStation VR, right? And, you know, I like Tetris is like a 2D blocks falling game. Like, I mean, she's amazing. Like, you can't compete with her on Tetris. You'd just, you know, yeah, you lose every time. But yeah, like, what's the point of it? Like, so I can look around the blocks, or I don't, you know. But I mean, it's the same. It is a VR experience. Like, you're in a virtual world, right? So I love 3D. I mean, like, I have a 3D printer here. I've done, you know, 3D portraits of myself. And you know, I've been dealing with 3D for a long, long time, but I've never really found a use case for it beyond it looks cool on the computer screen, or it looks great in a movie theater, or, you know, IMAX, you put on the big glasses and you go and experience Spider-Man, you know, in 3D, and you get those sort of, you know, 3D effects, right? But so until we actually get it on our heads, I don't think we really know what it's going to be. And I don't think that, in the same way that, like, I don't know if you remember when the watch came out, nobody knew what the watch was going to be good for. Now the watch is like, I mean, I have the Ultra watch, and I got it because of the workouts, you know.
Yeah.
10 years ago when however long the watch came out, I go, yeah, we're on watchOS 10, so it must be 10 years. But when that first came out, I mean, I got a watch because we all wanted to write apps for it. But I was never a fan. It was not a great piece, the 1.0, right? And I wasn't in a position where workouts meant that much to me when I was 10 years ago, but it does now, you know, because I'm older. I need to take care of my heart and my body and blah, blah, blah. But it's not the same, like, you know, so the watch purpose, it's notifications and it's workouts. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty much it.
Who knew? You know, like, maybe I time some cooking on it or listen. I might control my podcast with it or things like that, but like I use my phone for that, right?
Yeah. So it's those little things, as you said. I don't know, when I'm cooking, I use timers. If I'm listening to music, I can stop the music and play the music on my watch.
Yeah.
I can tap to pay and just, you know, do I really, really need it? Probably not. But I also
tap to pay for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I also use some watch, like used to wearing watches, and this is just pretty much replacing a physical watch, but I don't know. I like my watch.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, before cell phones and before, you know, I used to have a phone that I worked in an office where I was the IT manager, and I had a phone that went on my hip. It was kind of like a cellular phone, but it wasn't cellular. And it just basically meant that people could get a hold of me all the time. And I just spent my whole day looking at my watch. You know, is it time to go home? Is it time to go home? Is it time for lunch? Is it time to go home? You know? And I just, after a while, it was just driving me crazy. I stopped wearing a watch. I didn't wear a watch for probably 20 years. Right. And then because I have, you know, when the cell phones came along, I have a clock on my phone and my computer has a clock. So I never needed to worry about what time it was, you know,
yeah.
And that's all pretty much a watch was for, with the date and the time. Right. And yeah, it wasn't until Apple Watch came out that I actually got a watch. Right. So, yeah. So, but like, yeah, imagine this. Okay. So you're cooking dinner. And you got your Vision Pro headset on, you know, and you hold up the sugar and it says, oh, you've got a quarter cup of sugar. Maybe magically it can, you know, measure the sugar. Oh, you've put too much sugar in. Or maybe
yeah.
Julia Child is in your ear telling you how to cook the meal or whatever. Like, we don't know. I mean, that could be a use case, right?
Yeah.
So
I would love to try Vision Pro and then it can change my mind. I'm open to that, but I'll have to try it first.
Well, the two people I know that I respect are Paul Hudson and Marcus Brownlee. They both tried it.
Yeah, Paul was talking about it on Try Swift Dub on Friday.
Oh, yeah?
His experience.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he described it like it's amazing. So.
Yeah, he did say, whatever you imagine it is, it's better than that.
Yeah, exactly.
So was it Dub Tri Swift? Was that?
It was like a mini conference that lasted about 2 hours. Tri Swift Dub. You know those Tri Swift workshops. Every year on Friday they do like invite a lot of people from community to give like a 5 to 10 short minute talk on something new that Apple announced.
Like a lightning talk.
Yeah. It was my first time attending and speaking, so it was pretty cool.
Oh, was it like in person or on Zoom or?
On Zoom, yeah, it was online.
Okay, cool. Did you go to, you didn't go to WWDC?
No, I didn't go this year.
No?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of vacation days. I just started working at a new company. And next week, I'm actually off for 2 weeks. My mom and dad are coming to Canada for the first time.
Nice.
I'm super excited for that,
Yeah, cool. Well, it's been great talking to you, and maybe we'll have to meet in real life, you know?
Definitely, in August, right?
Yeah, well, in August we'll for sure meet, for sure, yeah. But I'm downtown, I live in Riverdale, so if you're ever down this way, maybe give me a shout, we'll go for a coffee or something.
Yeah, it would be nice. And there aren't many iOS meetups happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, the people that run SwiftTO, we used to have a group called NS Coders, and then we have the Taco group, I think I told you about Taco.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be planning anything soon. We offered to host at Spot Hero Toronto office. We offered to host a meetup. And I know Terry has offered to host one at DoorDash as well. So we'll just wait and see. Maybe we'll just get back on the Taco Slack and convince them to do one. So
maybe
it'll be good to see everybody.
Yeah, maybe we all meet at Swift Toronto and then, you know, talk about it and something happens.
Yeah, well, maybe do we have to wait until August? So that's the question,
that's
right?
True.
All right, cool. But thanks for coming on the show, and I'll see you in August.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.